Good evening, and welcome to our Ash Wednesday worship service. We begin our service with a prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you freely forgive the sins of all and grant eternal life to those who come to you in repentance and faith. Create in us new and repentant hearts so that we who are in no way deserving of your mercy may have the full assurance of forgiveness and life in Jesus. We ask these things in his name. Amen. You may be seated. We begin our worship service in this Lenten season with a hymn 440.
Thank you.
rise. We follow the order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin this Ash Wednesday worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, asking Him, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, we are sinful by nature and have sinned against You in our thoughts, words, and actions. But we are sorry for our sins and pray that You would be gracious and merciful unto us. Forgive us for Jesus' sake. Renew us by Your Spirit and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth will declare Your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, You set us free. Accept our thanks eternally. Forgiven through Your precious blood, we now are reconciled to God. Amen. You may be seated. Our responsive psalm for this evening is Psalm 130. You find it in the middle of page 2 in your bulletin. Out of the depths I have cried to You, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice.
Let Your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If You, O Lord, should mark me with peace, O Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness with You.
That You may be heard.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning.
Yes, more than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord.
For with the Lord there is mercy.
And with Him is abundant redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, You are full of mercy and grace. We pray that You would create in us new and repentant hearts and lives that acknowledge our guilt, turn away from our sins, and turn to Jesus for full and free forgiveness. We pray this through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We'll continue with our Passion History reading from your Harmony of the Passion booklets. We'll begin tonight with part 1.
When Jesus had spoken these words, and when they had sung a hymn, He went to the Mount of Olives, as He was accustomed, and His disciples also followed Him. They went over the brook Kidron, and they came to a garden named Gethsemane. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of Me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." But Peter answered and said to Him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny Me 3 times. But Peter spoke more vehemently, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. When he came to the place, Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there. Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he was withdrawn from the others about a stone's throw. And he began to be sorrowful, troubled, and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little farther, and he knelt down. He fell to the ground on his face and prayed. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Let this cup pass from me, if it is your will. Not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Rise, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing and ready, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying the same words, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words once more. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us be going. He who betrays me is at hand." Now Judas, one of the 12, who betrayed Jesus, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. He received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the scribes and elders of the people, and came there with torches, weapons, swords, and clubs. And while Jesus was still speaking, this great multitude came, and the one called Judas went before them. Now Judas had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Take him and lead him away safely." Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Then when he said to them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" Judas drew near to Jesus to kiss him. He went up to him and said to him, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come? Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those who were around Jesus saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with a sword?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly Simon Peter drew out his sword and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then he said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath, for all who take the sword will die by the sword. Do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? But how then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" In that hour, Jesus said to the chief priests and captains of the temple and elders who came to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you in the temple, teaching, and you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. All this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then the disciples forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and the young men laid hold of him. Then he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked.
continue in the middle of page 3. Here ends our Passion History reading. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, in our Savior Jesus Christ, with the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, along with Luther's explanation that begins in the bottom of page 3. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 543. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave up his life for us, dear fellow redeemed. The text for meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Ash Wednesday is taken from John chapter 18. We'll read verses 4 through 8. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Did anyone else find it hard to know what to say to people today? Did you say, "Happy Valentine's Day"? Or were you like me, conflicted over whether or not you should try and acknowledge the fact that it's Ash Wednesday? But you really don't feel like Happy Ash Wednesday is all that appropriate, right? We don't think of Ash Wednesday as being a very happy day. A day of repentance, yes. A day of commemorating Jesus' journey toward the cross and the suffering he went through there, yes. But happy? Doesn't seem to fit. Thankfully, there is another word associated with Valentine's Day that's much more fitting for Ash Wednesday. Love. Yes, that may not be the first word that comes to mind when we think about Lent, but love is what Lent is truly all about. As we begin our Lenten series on this Ash Wednesday, we'll be looking at some of the powerful words that Jesus spoke in his powerful passion, or words that people associated with Jesus' passion spoke as well. And tonight we'll be looking at three important words from Jesus from our text. No, not "I love you," but important words nonetheless. Words that definitely showed Jesus' love for us. "I am he." It was Maundy Thursday night when the events of our text took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. And John sets the scene for our verses of our text in the three verses before our text. And he writes this. He says, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons." So Jesus asked this detachment of troops, which could have numbered as many as 600 men, he says, "Whom are you seeking?" They answer him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Those words don't seem all that powerful. Jesus was simply acknowledging who he was. But look at what the effect was on this detachment of troops. "Now when he said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground." Remember, this is a group of armed soldiers. And remember again, this could have been as many as 600 men. And they're coming upon this unarmed man, this unassuming rabbi slash carpenter, and yet Jesus' words, "I am he," knock these men to the ground. Jesus gave them a glimpse of his power as true God and was sending a very clear message by his words that these men were not going to come and take him if it wasn't for his own will. He was going to come on his own accord and his own will, or he wasn't going at all. In fact, it's entirely possible that the reason Jesus asked them a second time, "Whom are you seeking?" was to show and to make the point that he was coming of his own will, of his own volition. Because when he answers, "I am he," again, he does not knock them down. He willingly turns himself in and asks for the release of his disciples. He says, "Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." These words of Jesus, "I am he," are not just powerful because they knock these tough soldiers to the ground. They're powerful words because of what Jesus accepted upon himself by saying them. John reminds us in the first verse of our text that Jesus knew all the things that would come upon him. And knowing all the things that would come upon him, he went forward. Jesus knew why the soldiers were there. Jesus knew Judas had betrayed him. He knew what would happen if he turned himself in to this mob. He saw the mocking, the humiliation, and the suffering. He saw the whippings and beatings. He saw the agony and death of the cross and the God-forsakenness of hell that would happen to him there. He knew all that would need to be done to save all of mankind. He saw the horrible things he would need to go through alone. He also had every right and had all the power as true God to get himself out of this situation, to completely skip it altogether. And he demonstrated it by knocking down these soldiers with his mere words. After all, he was innocent. Mankind was guilty. We deserve the punishment and the shame. He did not. But John tells us that Jesus went forward. He willingly accepted all the things that he would have to suffer in order to save the human race that he loved so much. He went forward and said, "I am he. I am Jesus of Nazareth." And he said this so that he could prove all the other times that he said, "I am," during his life and ministry. Times when he said, I am the good shepherd who gives up his life for the sheep. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Or in one instance in particular where Jesus just simply said, "I am." That may have been one of the most significant because by saying that, he was acknowledging that he was Jehovah, true God. Jehovah means, "I am." "I am he, and I willingly give up everything to save my creation." So Jesus' words and actions are a great reminder of what love really is. Love is more than a feeling. It's more than just words. Love can include all these things, but real love is, well, it's real. It's gritty. It's messy. It's not afraid to get its hands dirty. Love can be hard. It can hurt, and we can suffer for it. Love is an action. It is an act of the will. That is the type of love Jesus has for us. The type of love that is defined by the Greek word agape and described for us by God himself in 1 Corinthians 13. A selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love that loves the unlovable and the undeserving and is willing to give up everything for the sake of others without any thought of reward or even any thought of getting love in return. Love loves just because it is love. Jesus loves because he is love. I am he. Jesus didn't try to run or hide from the monumental task that was before him. He loved us too much. He willingly went forward and met his battle with sin, with hell, and death itself head on. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. The joy that was set before Jesus would also be our joy. His death gives us eternal life. His blood washes us clean of every sin. His resurrection gives us new life and the sureness of eternal life with him in heaven. There we will live and reign with him in glory forever. There Jesus will identify himself as I am one more time. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. Thanks be to God that Jesus is who he is, and that he loves how he loves. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free
seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Prayer requests for this evening. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O Heavenly Father, on this Ash Wednesday, we acknowledge our transgressions, and our sins are ever before us. We humbly come before you, trusting in your promise that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We plead the merits of your only begotten Son. For the sake of his innocent suffering and death, forgive us. Wash us in his precious blood from our iniquity, and free us from our sin. By your Spirit, lead us to the refreshing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as to a stream of living water. Restore unto us the comfort of his cross, by which you have reconciled the world to yourself. Dear Lord, for all who seek your mercy and help, the ailing and those in pain, the lonely and the weary, the disheartened and the discouraged, and for those who are weak in faith, we pray. Supply all their needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus, and give them a joyful release from all of their trials. Give to all who are assembled here, who have brought you the sacrifices of broken spirits and contrite hearts, the fullness of your mercy, in the saving knowledge of our dear Redeemer, Jesus Christ, in whose name we now pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 524. Continue in the middle of page 5 in your bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also be with you.
We pray. O Lord, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to live by your word. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness. We pray this through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. And receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We close with a hymn that you see printed on page 6. We'll sing all 4 verses. A blessed Ash Wednesday to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. That sounds like the right thing to say for Ash Wednesday, right? But blessed also means happy, so you can say happy Ash Wednesday. Blessed Ash Wednesday to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard this evening. A reminder for this week, tomorrow we have choir practice at 6:30. Please join us for that if you'd like to sing for our Lenten season and for Easter. This Sunday, we'll be having our Bible class at the usual time of 9 a.m., and worship service at 10. We'll be celebrating communion this Sunday as well. If you would please leave your booklets in the back table to my left as you leave the church service. We'll be using those on the Sundays during the Lenten season. Any other announcements this evening? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.